TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
Weapons in space. Donald Trump has launched the U.S. Space Force. That's the first new U.S. military service in more than 70 years. Trump said, "Space is the world's new warfighting domain." Here he is at a signing ceremony at Joint Base Andrews on December 27, 2019.
This is a truly historic day for the American Armed Forces. In just a few minutes, I will proudly sign into law the largest ever investment in the United States military. In fact, I can say the largest ever by far. Today also marks another landmark achievement as we officially inaugurate the newest branch of our military. This is a very big and important moment. It's called the Space Force. Space. Gonna be a lot of things happening in space. Because space is the world's newest warfighting domain. Amid grave threats to our national security, American superiority in space is absolutely vital. And we're leading, but we're not leading by enough, but very shortly we'll be leading by a lot. The Space Force will help us deter aggression and control the ultimate high ground. With today's signing, I will proudly appoint General J. Raymond, the first Chief of Space Operations, and he will become the very first member of the Space Force, and he will be on the Joint Chiefs. He will be on the Joint Chiefs, which are now expanding by one position. That's a very powerful position. So, General Raymond, congratulations, and thank you for everything you've done.
Donald Trump launching the U.S. Space Force. On the eve of the ceremony, Carl Grossman and Bruce Gagnon were interviewed on the podcast Loud and Clear, saying no to the militarization of space. The program host, Brian Becker, gave permission to rebroadcast their comments. 5 days a week, Brian Becker covers the latest news, commentary, and political analysis on international affairs. His co-host is John Kiriakou, author, journalist, and retired intelligence officer. Kiriakou was the first U.S. government official to confirm that waterboarding was used to interrogate al-Qaeda prisoners, and he denounced it as torture. Here is John Kiriakou.
Loud and Clear.
Welcome back to Loud and Clear. I'm John Kiriakou.
And I'm Brian Becker.
Today we continue our weekly segment dealing with the ongoing militarization of space. As the U.S. continues to withdraw from international arms treaties, will the weaponization and militarization of space bring the world closer to catastrophe? We're joined from Old Westbury, New York, by Professor Carl Grossman. He's a full professor of journalism at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury. He's also the author of 6 books and the host of a nationally aired television program focused on environmental, energy, and space issues. Check out his latest article. It's called The Very Bad Space Force Deal, published yesterday at Counterpunch and today at Op-Ed News. And we're joined from Maine by Bruce Gagnon. Bruce is the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and a contributor to Foreign Policy in Focus. Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Carl gave an interview that was posted at Strategic Culture, that's strategic-culture.org, in which, Carl, you talk about space being the next battle zone. Now, this has been an ongoing theme here in this segment on our show. We talk about the new Space Force. We talk about space being the next frontier and laser weapons coming to space and all these different things. Talk a little bit about what you told Strategic Culture.
Well, what I told them was that the U.S., frankly, is causing the world to rush headlong into a catastrophic, a cataclysmic, an apocalyptic, frankly, I mean, I hate to sound hyperbolic, situation in space. We're headed for war in space. I mean, Trump last week, he put the final touches on this Space Force issue. I mean, he signed the legislation, Trump did, to create a sixth branch of U.S. armed forces called a Space Force. And here I'm looking at a Space News article with at the signing, U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper says that outer space has evolved into a warfighting domain. Maintaining American dominance in that domain is now the mission of the United States Space Force. And things are happening very quickly. In fact, this is just out in Space News, which is a trade publication. And they quote the general who is going to be in charge of the Space Force. He's now in charge of the U.S. Space Command, which is going to be renamed General John J. Raymond. We do have a plan to rename the principal Air Force bases that house space units to be space bases. So in short order, it's quite likely that, for example, Peterson Air Force Base out in Colorado Springs in Colorado will become the Peterson Space Force Base, and on and on. I mean, the U.S. is pushing the world headlong into making space an arena of war, and other countries will not stand for it. In regard to the signing by Trump of this bill providing for a U.S. Space Force, here's a declaration from China. Space is not your property. And here's a statement. I want to make it clear that outer space belongs. This is from a foreign ministry spokesman of China. To make it clear that outer space belongs to all mankind and is not exclusively owned by one country, and especially not the private property of the U.S. Putin in Russia has been saying similar things about this Trump push for space militarization and weaponization. And these nations, though they've resisted for decades moving into space, as the U.S. is claiming, the U.S. military and the Trump administration both are claiming, they're going to respond in kind to what the U.S. is doing. And space is, and that was the nature of the interview, and the heavens will be turned into a war zone. And when you're speaking about space, it's not just a matter of accidents can happen. Accidents will happen. In terms of rocket launches, 1 out of 100 fail catastrophically. Most of the time we're talking about rockets blowing up on launch. And here there's this big push to build nuclear-powered rockets for quicker trips to Mars. Again, considering that 1 in 100 launch failure rate, like what is happening? And furthermore, it's not just a matter of accidents being caused by mechanical error. A lot of it's human error. A few years ago, there was a Mars flyby, but the problem was that one NASA team calculated the altitude the spacecraft was to fly over Mars in feet, and the other did it in meters. Things got screwed up, and the next thing you know, this thing crashed into the planet Mars.
Crazy.
I want to pull back just for a second, John, and talk to Bruce. You know, this is the end of the decade, and so it's a time for reflection and an attempt to evaluate different trajectories. I'm looking at the front page of the New York Times, Bruce. It's a picture of these two sort of young kids. The one's maybe an early teenager, a boy, a girl, a little bit younger. It's on a family visit to Brittany. Justine and Matthias from Eastern France marveled at the green slime covering the beaches. And then this article is about how environmental degradation is taking its toll on Europe and on all the wonderful lakes and rivers and mountains of Europe. And the EU, the Economic Union of Europe, the European Union, are subsidizing the continued use of industrial farming in all of these areas. They're subsidizing it because they're not actually solvent without subsidies. But the subsidies allow the continuation of business such that all of these amazing wonders like the beaches at Brittany, covered with green slime, making them unusable for living things, making them unusable for fish and wildlife, making them unusable for human beings, either for food or for recreation. You have this, like, these mounting and obvious problems on the planet Earth. And instead of addressing the problems, the policymakers, the powers that be, blithely go forward to talking about spending trillions of dollars to militarize outer space rather than fixing the problems on the planet Earth, observable, obvious problems. Environmental degradation is just one. But when you pull back and you think about it, when you really stop and think about this as a phenomena and realize that all of the momentum is with the people who want to militarize outer space and spend trillions there rather than fixing the problems on the planet Earth, it can't help but, you know, make you evaluate what's the rationality of our current economic and social order. Because it's not just a bad politician. You can play the blame game. You can do whatever. But this is actually systemic. As we close out the year and the decade, Bruce Gagnon, just reflect on that a little bit in your own thoughts, because I know you've thought a lot about it. You've written a lot about it, and you're mobilizing about it. Go ahead.
Some years ago, I was on a speaking tour in Southern California on space issues, and I picked up the Los Angeles Times, and there was an article in there, a very big article about the Mars Society and their quest to go and terraform Mars. Terraform means turn that dusty red planet into a green planet like the Earth. And imagine the cost of doing such a thing. And they quoted a Lockheed Martin executive who's also the president of the Mars Society. His name is Robert Zubrin. Of course, Lockheed Martin would make a lot of money off this thing, coincidentally. Anyway, he said that the Earth was a rotting, dying, stinking planet, and we have to move to Mars. We have to move our civilization to Mars and terraform it so that we can live there. And that's their line. And they get a lot of money from the aerospace industry, the Mars Society does, to promote this idea, and which is increasingly becoming more and more popular with many young people. I always wonder, gee, if we're going to spend all that money terraforming Mars, why don't we clean up this incredibly beautiful planet, where life is quite abundant? Why don't we take care of the people on this planet with all this money that they want to spend and waste terraforming Mars? So these are the things I think about as we move forward. And now you have these very rich guys like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos promoting this whole expansion of our race into the heavens, but they're carrying with them this bad seed of war and greed, capitalism, environmental degradation that has been planted into the depths of the soil on this Earth where we live. It just makes no sense. It's crazy to me.
Carl Grossman, same question to you.
I begin a book I wrote a long time ago, 40 years ago, Cover Up What You're Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power, with a quote from the Bible. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. There's always been, forever, choices that humanity can make between life and death, between blessing and curse. And we must choose life. But there's always been these forces on the dark side that would send us in a terrible direction. And it's so obvious that this planet, I've been fortunate enough to travel all over the world, and from China to France to Mexico to the United States to Russia, there's such beauty, there's such splendor, there's such life. And it's under threat. It's all over. Environmental degradation is enormous on this planet. We have to stop the ruination of the planet. We have to renew the planet. We should spend our resources here on Earth in renewing and sustaining life. I mean, one thing about the space program, I think, which was good, were those photos taken decades ago of this beautiful blue marble in the universe. I think it shows so many people how precious this planet is, and we have to keep it that way.
That's Carl Grossman. We're talking to Carl Grossman and Bruce Gagnon, as we do every Thursday in this segment of Loud and Clear, talking about the militarization of outer space. John Kiriakou, you know, you and I have talked about the influence of both the military-industrial complex and the CIA, and let's call it the National Surveillance State Complex, in terms of policymaking. But, you know, it seems to me that this is dominant. This is not a secondary or ancillary issue in terms of how decisions are made. I mean, our current Secretary of Defense, Mike Esper, was a Raytheon
executive.
Before that, it was Patrick Shanahan. He was the senior executive at Boeing. If you look through the names of the top defense officials in the Trump cabinet or Trump administration, I'm sure it's true in the whether it was Obama too. All of them are getting millions of dollars from the same companies that are incentivized to militarize outer space and militarize everything. David Norquist, the acting deputy secretary of defense before 9 years with a private security accounting firm doing business with contractors. Lisa Hirschman, acting chief management officer. She spent 30 years with defense firms, service providers, and consultants in the same milieu. Michael Griffin, undersecretary of research and development, 5 years with Technology Services Corporation that consults the government. Ellen Lord, undersecretary of acquisition and sustainment, nearly 15 years with a Texas defense contractor. John Rood, undersecretary for policy, 10 years with Raytheon and Lockheed Martin.
So much for draining the swamp.
This is why these decisions are being made. The American people get to vote every 2 or 4 years, but those politicians come and go. This is the system. You don't have to call it the deep state.
It's
the existing system.
That's the system. And, you know, I chuckle when I think that there were voters across this country that thought that system would somehow magically change because Donald Trump, who's not a professional politician, found himself as president of the United States. This isn't about Donald Trump. This is about the system. This is the system that we have given ourselves. We're stuck with it. Absent radical change, we're stuck with it. Absent real congressional oversight, which will never come.
Right, because those politicians are bought and paid for too.
They're bought and paid for as well. And so long as we have Citizens United just reinforcing it, nothing will change.
And Carl Grossman, the NDAA was just passed, and we talked about it last week. It authorizes a Space Force. This is the House of Representatives controlled by the Democrats. The Democrats could vote this up or down. They voted it up. It's their bill. They own it. So anyone who's thinking, oh, look, we don't have to, as John Kiriakou is suggesting, have radical change, systemic change. We can vote in change. When you look at what just happened with the NDAA, you have to come to the conclusion, if you have any ounce of objective faculty in your body and brain, that that is not the road for a rational change of system. And anyway, this is a life and death type issue. So why not just speak frankly and candidly about what's really going on? Anyway, go ahead.
What the Democrats did, there was this trade-off, and it's been widely reported at this point, for parental leave for civilian government employees. Jared Kushner arranged this deal that provided the Democrats, thus they voted with the Republicans, almost all Democrats, on this NDAA, $738 billion, let me note, which includes very explicitly a Space Force and has language regarding the U.S. seeking dominance in space. They, in this trade-off, they traded turning the heavens into a war zone for parental leave for civilian government employees, which is common all over the planet. Very tellingly, the Democratic chairman of the Armed Services Committee, who has been pushing for Space Force, he comes from the state of Washington and Seattle, where Boeing is busy making its MAX 737 and instruments of war. I mean, in fact, the U.S. government has been, so much of it, bought and sold. However, let me just say, as a student of history, as a teacher, I've seen through the years, through the decades, times that the people of the United States, in fact, stood up and made changes, for example, during the muckraking era, when corruption and corporate dominance of government was just so intense. There was this, the so-called progressive era was important. There's been times when from the grassroots, people have risen and demanded change. And if there's any time that that's needed, it's needed now. And just let me again put a plug in for the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, of which Bruce has been the coordinator, because it's been on the front line. It's led internationally this effort, this challenge, this fight against this move to weaponize space. And if folks want to get in touch with the Global Network, just go to online, www.space4peace.org, and join up with the Global Network and get active in the Global Network. I still believe that people power can overcome despotism and stupidity and people and nations going to the dark side.
Just to underscore what Carl is saying, in a article, they quote a memo that was obtained by Space News, a military memo that said, let me read it, one line from it, the White House and the Secretary of the Air Force have consistently set an expectation for rapid Space Force stand-up and have emphasized the importance of moving out swiftly and rapidly, and here's the important part of it, and creating positive public perception with regards to expeditious implementation of the Space Force. So it's clear that those inside, with all the power, they have Congress locked down. The Senate voted 86-8 to approve this thing. The House 377-48. Democrats overwhelmingly joining with Trump on moving forward with this NDAA and the Space Force, which was a part of that. So it's clear that despite having all the power, all the money, everything else they have lined up, they still worry about the public's perception, and they know they have to manage public opinion on this. That tells us something. That tells us that they know it's a tightrope they're standing up there on. It's shaky ground below. Public is not happy with Congress. Polls say 70% of the American people are furious with what's happening today inside of our government. So they've got to try to go out and sell this to the public. So shows like yours are so important. We can reach some people through your show, and we ask people to fight for social progress, because the money to pay for all of this madness that they want to push into space, the next round of the arms race, this money is going to come from Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, what's left of the social safety net, the tattered condition that it's in. That's the money they want to take in order to pay for all this. So don't let them do it. Fight for social progress. Fight for a clean environment. Dealing with climate crisis, our real problem that we have. Fight for those things so that we starve this beast.
I want to ask, if you don't mind, Brian, I want to ask Carl, what is the public response to this? Because, you know, we talk about it on the show, and we look at these relatively specialized publications and websites that are talking about the Space Force. But in the mainstream media, I really have trouble finding anything really about the Space Force and about the dangers of the Space Force, certainly. We saw the overwhelming support on Capitol Hill for the creation of this thing. But what's the public reaction?
The public has been left in the dark. I mean, I've been a journalist all my working life. In fact, as of 2020, I'll have been in journalism for 60 years. I've been a professor of journalism for 42 years. The media have failed. If you did a poll of U.S. citizens, U.S. residents, are you familiar with this plan to start up Space Force? Do you know anything about what happened in Congress and the Democrats voting, but they're largely Democrats voting? If you got 1 in 10,000 Americans to say, oh, yeah, I'm familiar, I read it. Where are the articles in the major national newspapers? Has there been any coverage? I've not seen a bit of coverage on NBC or CBS or ABC or CNN even. The weaponization, the militarization of space, and the outcome. I mean, consider a war in space with exchanges between battle platforms, which would have on them I mean, this is what's ahead: hypervelocity guns and particle beams and laser weapons, and they'll need energy, and the energy systems that are planned are nuclear reactors and super plutonium systems and radioactive fallout among the other debris, which will come raining down. And people in this country don't know. And a large part of it has to do with the failure of media, and also the failure of, has the issue of a space force and the weaponization of space, and has that been discussed in any of the Democratic Party, the presidential hopeful debates? I didn't hear anything about it. Again, people don't know because they've not been made aware, they've not been told, and a lot of the blame goes to a media, a press, which in the U.S. system is supposed to inform people so they can exercise judgment. People have not been informed.
At this very time, as we talk, we see so many of my friends that are so excited about this coming Democratic primary in the spring that will give them a chance to take back the Democratic Party. But the fact of the matter is, all we have to look at is what the Democrats are doing currently on all these issues. With this one in particular, the Space Force, the Democrats' only criticism of Trump's proposal on the Space Force was they wanted to call it the Space Corps. And then they've overwhelmingly voted in favor of it in the House and the Senate. And they know that it's going to cost $1 zillion. And they know that that money is going to come from one place only. It's not going to come from taxes on the rich. It's going to come out of the hides of working people. That's who's going to pay for this thing. But people still believe if they just elect the right Democrat, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, they think everything's going to change.
Hey, everybody, this is, we're going to talk with Bruce Gagnon and Carl Grossman every week. And we're going to continue to do so in 2020, John, because people need the information so that they can start acting.
That's right. We're going to have to leave it there. We were joined from Old Westbury, New York, by Professor Carl Grossman. He's a full professor of journalism at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury. He's also the author of 6 books and the host of a nationally aired television program focused on environmental, energy, and space issues. Check out his latest article, The Very Bad Space Force Deal, published yesterday on Counterpunch and today on Op-Ed News. And we were joined from Maine by Bruce Gagnon. Bruce is the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and he's also a contributor to Foreign Policy in Focus.
That was a rebroadcast from the December 27, 2019 edition of Loud and Clear. Weapons in Space. Donald Trump has launched the U.S. Space Force. That's the first new U.S. military service in more than 70 years. Thanks to Brian Becker and John Kiriakou for their permission.
TUC Radio takes its name from an aeronautical term. Time of useful consciousness is the time between the beginning of oxygen deficiency and passing out. The precious moments to save the plane. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.